All right, it's Reality Wyatt coming at you here. Amazing Race 36, Episode 6. And I am joined, as always, it's a double leg, but here's my duo. It's Jeremy. Jeremy, how are you?
It's good, Wyatt. You know, this is the this is like the third episode that they've done a mega leg for. So, because the first two episodes were a mega leg, so this is the second mega leg, right?
Yeah, pretty much, except that one was divided over two episodes. They did fit four challenges into 90 minutes. I was worried that we weren't going to get the full episode. I thought we may get a cliffhanger, but I was lucky to find out that that was not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was very grateful for that.
Yeah, and I got to say, for an episode that was kind of a foregone conclusion in terms of the end result, like we knew who was going to go home for most of the episode, I still found this to be such a fun episode.
Yeah, you know, obviously we got to talk a lot about you know, the strategy in this episode, because it was like the strategy did make for a pretty obvious boot throughout most of the episode. But I mean, we saw this a couple years ago where the teams like all worked together and it made for a pretty boring season. But this time I feel like it's a little bit different because I guess there's little pocket alliances. Like there's two teams here that are working together, three teams here working together. And so it makes it a little less like annoying, I guess, but I'm curious as to whether this is going to continue moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's less annoying too, because as we've mentioned before, like because of how this leg or this season is constructed and being the glorified track meet that we love to say, where it is just very challenge heavy, you don't have as many navigation issues because you don't have things like flying to different countries as part of the leg. I do think it comes across as a little bit more fun because even though in theory you should be able to get past these challenges a little bit faster, there's less ground to be made up. So it seems like the gap between like last and second to last or first to last is significantly more thin.
Absolutely. And I think that teams in this leg, they were just like racing to not lose. And while I think that's okay for this leg because there's so many teams still in, it's something that may not fly, you know, two, three episodes down the line.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know if I foresee this being something that's going to continue, especially Rod and Letitia being in the grouping, but I could definitely see, you know, Amber and Vinny and Danny and Angie still working together in some, you know, part throughout this race. But let's go ahead and hop into the mega leg. It is in Cordoba, Argentina. I do like that now we are getting one leg per country. We had one leg in Chile. We got one leg in Argentina. Next week, we're going to be in Uruguay. So I do like that we're not doing two legs in kind of the same country.
Yeah, it's some variety.
Yeah, so the first group is going to leave is going to be Ricky and Caesar, Juan and Shane. Ricky and Caesar, I mean, they didn't really say anything going into their first challenge. They would just say, hey, we're in the front. We're halfway through the race. We hope to continue to be on that trajectory. Juan and Shane, though, they said they want to run a clean race, which I got to say, really almost a coming out party for Juan and Shane. I've kind of always viewed them as a team that would kind of be middle of the pack, probably would be getting fourth or fifth. Never viewed them as winners, but I think this week really showed that they can really excel in a variety of different challenges.
Yeah, and honestly, they've got I don't think very many teams can beat them physically. Obviously, you have Rod and Letitia, who are, you know, like an athlete and his wife, but I think as like both of them collectively have a ton of athleticism that I don't think other teams are able to really match, to be honest with you. But again, as we've talked in the past, you know, that doesn't necessarily quantify the strongest Amazing Race team. You know, sometimes it's Ricky and Cesar, you know, who are just good at everything, well-rounded. And sometimes it's the team that navigates the best. And sometimes it's the team that, you know, can just get the luckiest. But oftentimes the team that is the strongest physically makes it pretty far. And to see Juan and Shane in the front of the pack now after being in the middle of the pack to begin the race didn't surprise me probably as much as you say it did.
Yeah, shout out UCF again. That hat is still on Juan, Jeremy's alma mater. Then we have the second group that's going to leave Amber, Vinny, Danny, and Angie, and Rod and Letitia. This is where the alliance is going to start. Danny was already being followed for navigation, but he said, hey, I want an alliance for this mega leg because I really feel like with multiple challenges, and he didn't say it like this, but I feel like it's fair to interpret it. you know, hey, more challenges, more ways that me and mom can fall behind, especially since mom has to do these roadblocks because I've done so many. And he wants Angie to try to do both if possible, because he feels like if Angie can knock out two roadblocks here, they have a real shot to win the race because they'll be close to even.
Yeah, I agree with that. But Angie and Danny, I feel like, are major catalysts in the race. I feel like a lot of teams are operating based on what they're doing. And we saw that, you know, in this episode, especially with Amber and Vinny. But I'm curious to see how that, you know, evolves going forward.
He really is the representation of the typical average superfan, especially the ones that are as nerdy as him and they're playing, like, you know, games in the neighborhood with the other children as they're growing up, or they're playing like the online games, because it's like, okay, he wasn't an NFL player like Rod. He wasn't in the military like Juan and Shane. He wasn't like a physical job like a firefighter, like Busy and Sunny, but he has so much more knowledge of the race and ways to kind of break down the legs more than other people. And it is great because, I mean, I know that me and you have both, between Survivor, Big Brother, even The Amazing Race, we've seen so many super fans come, and it feels like sometimes they are missing, like, the most basic of details under pressure. And it's great to see somebody who is, you know, taking the bull by the horns and taking a team that on paper should not have done well. Like Danny and Angie, you know, he's not a super athlete with all due respect, and she's a little bit older as well. They should have been one of the first teams out. But for them to be able to make it to this point and be what I feel like a real contender to win this thing, depending on how these challenges break down, it's great to see.
Yeah, I mean, look, Angie and Danny, that's what's grows so great about the race. You know, there's so many types of teams that can win, and including teams that may not be the most, you know, physically apt. And now with the elimination this week, Angie is the oldest person in the race by about 10 years. Rod's the next oldest racer at this point. So the fact that Angie's made it as far as she has should be commended. And, you know, at this point, they've survived, you know, 6-7 legs. Like, why can't they win at this point, you know, especially if they're still toward, if they're not in the back of the pack completely.
And you got to think about the end, that memory challenge of memorizing what's going on. Who's going to be better suited than that than Danny? I'm sure Cesar is going to be really good at that as well, Ricky and Cesar. But, you know, I definitely think that they're going to be somebody who, if they can get to that point, you got to imagine that they're going to have a real shot. Then we have group three.
Angie, they would be the most satisfying winners. Like, if Angie and Danny win, I think it'd be one of the greatest winning stories we've seen. But, yeah, I have a hard time seeing how they beat Ricky and Cesar. I just don't see it. They've like Ricky and Cesar have been ahead of them the whole race. I don't know if they've really had a task where they've all been together except for last week. But also something that I want to point out, you know, we've talked a lot about how Angie and Danny have helped other teams and how we may see that as a detriment. But I think in this episode, it really helps them because they like people are stopping their race to have them, you know, make sure they move forward with them. And that's something we usually don't see. It doesn't usually go to that extent, but Amber's crying because Angie's not there. Like it's like that's control. They're doing that part of the race really well, and it's making up for some of the weaknesses they may have.
Especially Ron and Letitia, because I think what I said last week is like, hey, you put out a little bit of help. You know, you helped Ron and Letitia with the navigation after the car museum. And I was like, but Rod and Letitia, you know, they could have paid it back at the skateboarding thing, but they didn't. You know, they weren't talking to Danny. He was talking to Juan about, you know, before he lost his nuts and everything. And I was like, okay, it's fine that Danny did this. He just can't keep on giving Rod and Letitia info if they're not going to help him. And I assumed that would be the case. But then when we see Rod and Letitia wait for them twice after finishing the detours first, to me was just really great to see that. And I think that is kind of what really kept them in this race. But let's get to group three. We have Derek and Shalisa, Sunny and Busy, and Yvonne and Melissa. They're going to start the race. Derek and Shalisa, they're going to have some map troubles, but so do the firefighters. This is something that has plagued, especially the firefighters, the entirety of the race. But then we finally get to the first detour, and it is Bicycle or Boladero. And bicycle teams have to pedal to crush plastic bottles until the container is full. It was an invention that this guy had made. And then in Boladero, they must rope this moving target. It's like a moving bull target, almost like a decoy, and you're trying to rope it around and be able to pull it in. Jeremy, I am so surprised that in a race where we have seen so many teams pick physical challenges, you know, we saw it in the first leg. So many teams were picking the horses that are still in the race. We saw it in the second leg where people were doing all the balloons. I'm just so shocked that we saw every team except Sonny and Busy at least pick Bolidero first.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's like, I usually think that it sounds easier. I think it's easier. Like, if it sounds easier on the paper, it may not usually be as easy in reality. I probably would have taken the bicycle one, to be honest with you.
I probably would too. I mean, I like to think that I'm good at carnival type games and things like that. But I would have been thinking about this. I'd have been like, okay, well, like roping is not something that you can just like learn. I mean, I guess you could, but I just feel like it's just something that you naturally have to do so many times to get right. And I'm like, listen, I can pedal a bike. You know, I can put in a little, you know, elbow grease and get this done a lot faster than I could rope it. So I was just so surprised that so many teams were going that direction. But let's start with the bike. Danny, Rod, and Vinny, the people that are on the Big Three Alliance, as I'll call them, they're going to pick the Bolidero, but they're going to switch once they get there, which was great for Danny and Angie, because he was like, okay, I don't know if Angie's going to be able to, you know, she might have threw her arm out of socket trying to get that thing together. So they're all going to leave and get there. Rod, Vinny, and Danny, they're going to be the ones that start pedaling. But as you get deeper, it's going to get really harder, especially when you get to that hard bottle cap. Do you think, Jeremy, that this would work in America? Like, if we just had these in, like, major metro cities like New York, Orlando, you know, Houston, would people, like, stop and actually, like, recycle these things?
Probably not.
I don't think so either. I think it's a great invention. I just don't know if anybody would actually take the time to do anything like that to be able to, like, shred this stuff up.
Not, like, spontaneously off the street, but, like, if it was an organized effort, yeah.
Yeah. I think that it's hard enough for people just to put it in the recycling bin, let alone have to do any form of manual labor. Danny is trying his best to pedal this, but at one point he's going to try to ask his mom to switch out, which for me, I was yelling at the screen. I was like, listen, she needs to conserve her energy. You know, there's going to be a lot of running this leg. Who knows what these other three challenges are going to hold? I was like, Danny, you got to stay on that bike. But we didn't see her really on the bike for very long. So I think he probably just catched his breath. But Rod is going to show here why he's like a top 0.001% of athlete, Jeremy, because he's going to absolutely bust through that. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to imagine that Rod was not, like, he was in the NFL, but he wasn't a star. You know, it's just crazy to think that there are even people out there that are, like, so much better than him.
He's a first-round pick.
Yeah, he's a first-round pick, but it's not like nobody's saying, oh, you know how I want to play football like? Rod. Nobody's saying that.
I might.
Yeah. People don't have posters in their room of Rod when he was playing.
Rod got drafted in the same draft as Tom Brady, right?
Or was he it did, the one after? He did. He got drafted before Tom Brady.
No, Tom Brady was 2000. He was 2001.
Oh, well.
He got drafted before Santana Moss.
There you go. But, yeah, he's going to absolutely crank it. But Rod and Letitia, they're going to get done first, and they're not going to leave. They're going to sit there, and they're going to start mapping out the route, which is good for them because they're terrible at navigation. So even though it comes off as like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe Rod stayed for them, it's probably in their best interest, right, based on the navigation we've seen in previous episodes.
Yes. They are utilizing their strengths. And you know, giving some care to their weaknesses, and that is what I think all of these teams are doing. They're realizing that, you know, two heads are better than one, four heads are better than two, six heads are better than two as well. So, and six heads are better than four. So I would say that they're all adopting the same strategy, and that's kind of why we're seeing these you know, ice outs of these teams. And I wonder next week if, like, the top teams are going to stay in the front because they all continue to work together and they kind of try to phase out that last group between Yvonne and Melissa and Sonny and Busy.
Yeah, it will definitely be interesting to see. Danny, to my surprise, is actually going to finish the bottles before Amber and Vinny. I mean, Amber and Vinny, like, these are not only one, but two people that are in great shape. And then they got to switch out quite a bit. So I was shocked that Danny was able to beat them. But they're going to join on the mat process when they get done. And we're going to see the firefighters. They're also going to come and do this. And they're going to realize that they are in last at this point. But they're really not, because Derek and Shalisa are going to end up switching the detour. But before we get into what happened to them, let's just go ahead and go to Boladero. Boladero, Ricky and Cesar, Juan and Shane, they're going to do this really surprise about Juan and Shane. Like I mentioned before, these are the guys that you would expect to do anything physical, because you got to think that they're going to be able to have a leg up, but they didn't. And it's interesting. You wind this thing up like a lasso. It's like a bolo. If you ever played like redneck golf, lawn golf, where you're trying to throw it instead of throwing it on the PVC pipe, you're throwing it overhead as opposed to underhanded. And you're going to whip that thing around to try to wrap it around the bull's legs. It was fun. It was fun to see, but I feel like there's not a whole lot that you can really critique, right, Jeremy? Because you just have guys and they miss it. They may throw it too hard, too soft, but it's hard to really say like exactly why they couldn't do this on the first try, other than like, hey, you just had to keep repeating it.
Yeah, absolutely. This leg is all about, you know, just getting from point A to point B. That's at the end of the day, the whole Amazing Race, especially on the glorified track meet season. So I would agree with that.
Yeah, so Juan and Shane, they're going to finish first, followed closely by Ricky and Cesar. It's going to be interesting because Yvonne and Melissa, they arrive as Ricky and Cesar are leaving. And I don't know if you caught this, but they're going to, like, Ricky and Cesar are going to tell them, like, hey, it's right up there. They're going to give them slight directions, nothing crazy. But I do wonder, like, hey, what happens when Ricky and Cesar and Juan and Shane find out about this big three alliance? Are we going to see a potential where maybe Ricky and Cesar will work with these two all-female teams if they're together next week? Juan and Shane may work with them. That's something that I'm keeping my eye on for next week, Jeremy.
Yeah, and also, like, will Rod and Letitia start to work with Juan and Shane again? I mean, we saw earlier in the race that they were working together. Would they do that again? Or would they stay with Angie and Danny and Vinny and Amber? Because, you know, I think that it makes more sense for them to work with Angie and Danny and Amber and Vinny, because if you are working with them navigation and you work with them, you know, like, and you can beat them in a foot race, you can't necessarily do that with Juan and Shane. So if you were in the back of the pack with Juan and Shane, you may lose. But if you're in the back of the pack with Angie and Danny, you may win. But Angie and Danny, they will split from Rod and Letitia before, like, at some point. They will have to.
Oh, yeah. We've already seen them lay the footwork for that in the prior two episodes, where, like, from the carb museum, they're saying, hey, we got to lose them. Even today, going to the pit stop, they're like, oh, we got to lose them. So they're already placing kind of like the idea. Like, I have no doubt in my mind that Danny and Angie would put themselves before the quote-unquote team if it comes down to it. So I like that they're thinking that way, because like you said, they would lose in a foot race to pretty much any team that's in the race. Shalisa and Derek, they're going to show up, and they're going to argue like hell instantly. I love the fact that Shalisa took, I don't know, a couple of tries to get the thing done, and like Derek gets on there for like one throw, and she's like, oh, no, we got to switch the detour.
Yeah, I was like, that was crazy, but Derek and Shalisa, they struggled in this one, man.
Struggled. So they get up and they move on to the bikes and Tour de Argentina. That's what Derek's gonna say when he's splitting. And listen, they split 5 and 5 bottles. I'm not sure that Vinny and Amber split 50-50, but I'm sure they did. But if not, they're the only team that has done that. Although Shalisa's gonna call it Derek for cheating. She's like, you did not do 5 bottles. She gets off. I'm just so sad that they're out, Jeremy, because you know I'm always, you know, always have a soft spot for the people that are a little bit older. But when you bring me entertainment like this, it's like, how can you not love them?
Yeah, they were a very fun team. I wish they would have lasted a little bit longer too. It looked like in the beginning of the race, they started off pretty strong. They just weren't able to keep up. I think it was like a couple weeks ago where they kind of moved to the back of the pack. And it was only a matter of time for them to kind of get cut, especially last week when it was just them and the cousins. So, yeah, this like I went into this episode thinking it probably was Derek and Shalissa's time, unless they got lucky with some, you know, error from some other team.
Yeah. I was thinking Sonny and Busy were gonna go because, you know, we've seen them kind of be in the back of the pack for a couple weeks and they have to pull that this miraculous, like, fast roadblock. And I'm just like, okay, can you do that four times though? Can you do that with like four different competitions? I felt like they were probably gonna be likely, and that's with all due respect to them. I was kind of hoping that as opposed to Derek and Shalisa, just because I feel like we've lost two of the most exciting teams in a long time in Karishma and Kishore and now the grandparents. So that does bum me out. But let's hop into the first roadblock. And it's who's got a good sense of directions. You got to ride in a Pro Rally X car and ride the course. You got to memorize a track to complete a replica puzzle in 3 minutes. Jeremy, just thoughts on this as a roadblock.
Good roadblock. You know, I think that they made this a lot harder than previous. Like, I felt like we've seen tasks like this before where you're doing something like where you got to go and, you know, like a thrill seeking kind of roadblock, adrenaline pumping roadblock. And I think that, like, we've seen it before, but not with the puzzle. So I think that made it a little bit harder for these teams. And I appreciate the fact that we're trying to, you know, add some difficulty to what these teams are being asked to do.
This might be the best challenge of the season, in my opinion, from a race, like creating the race perspective, in terms of maybe not the most entertaining, but in terms of like what they had to do. I loved it because if you have the great memory, then you can trace your steps. But even if you don't, even if you can't figure it out, you still got the puzzle that you can do. So there's a wide variety of ways that you could complete this because it really is just like an obvious puzzle, right? You know, you start in the middle because you know where you have to take an uphill to go to the stopping point. You can also like follow along on your leg. Like you can kind of like draw out like where you're going. And then if you keep forgetting all this stuff, like, just like follow the lines, you know what I mean? So I just love that there was just so many ways you could do this. But Ricky and Cesar, they're going to get there first. Ricky's going to do it for his team, and he's going to run out of time three times, which I'm surprised by that. I really thought that he would be able to knock this out in one. And I think he was just too focused on the actual route, Jeremy, and he just didn't look at it as like, hey, this is a puzzle. Let me just do it.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is the route, like, I think once people started to like stop thinking so much about the route, because it was very tricky given the map, like there were no like landmarks except for the finish line they had to go off of. Like, I feel like if they had a landmark that they could, you know, use as like, okay, like they get their orientation right. Kind of like with the previous roadblock with the sculptures in the plaza. So I feel like if there was something like that, it would have been a little bit different, but they didn't have that. So it was essentially, yeah, like, just go have fun on the ride and then finish a puzzle real quick.
Yeah, and he is going to finish that on his fourth attempt. Juan is going to do it for his team. He's going to crush it. He's going to finish in barely over a minute. You know, listen, when you look at these guys, buff guys, military, but for them to do really well at what I think is like their first real puzzle of the season, because I think they did the breakdancing over the Rebus puzzle. I'm trying to think. I mean, I guess they did the thing with like the having to memorize all the sculptures, but that was like more memory than anything else. And they also had help with Rod with that one as well. But to be able to knock this out in a minute, I think really speaks to them as more than just a couple of meatheads that can only do physical stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Then we have the big three, and this is kind of where the episode really gets good, in my opinion. Letitia, Angie, and Amber do it. And this is, I guess, what you would want to consider to be the weaker of the members of the team in terms of, like, you know, you want to save the other members of your team if it's more physical. You know, someone like Rod, you know, he kind of wants the ball in his hands at all times. If it's crunch time, Danny's the super fan. And I think that Vinny's just very confident in whatever goes along. So this is a great opportunity for them to kind of be able to you know, even out what those roadblocks are. Letitia, I mean, she was the first one to get to go, and she was just terrible on the first one. These things were all over the place. Roads were like dead ends were aplenty. But she's going to do much better round two, but she's going to run out of time. And on the third try, she's going to get a check, finally, but the guy's going to say, no good. And she was like, yeah, I could see that. It's like all the pieces are turned over. But luckily, she's going to get it after some help, and we'll get into that now, where Amber, who's the second person who gets a shot, she is not as bad as Letitia on the first try, but she's not doing great. But on the second try, she's going to get very close. She's just not completely in sync on the last couple pieces, but then she's going to knock it out on the third attempt. And she's going to say, okay, I can't leave these people because Angie is struggling at this point. So she, and then Angie's like saying, girl, you got to go run your race. You got to do that. And Amber's boo-hooing, crying. And she's like, I can't leave them. And even Danny's saying to go. But then she's going to go back and literally just do the puzzle for Angie and then Letitia.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. I was surprised that the Lions had extended to that level. But hey, I mean, we've seen how, you know, good fortune can pay off in the long run. But we're getting to a point now where there's not a whole lot of time to be paying that forward. And so, but like Amber getting like emotional, like saying, I'm not leaving until she finishes, was crazy to me. Crazy to me. I wouldn't, because even Angie was like, yeah, like go, you can go. But no, like, but so I'm sure they appreciated it for sure. But like, if it were me, I wouldn't expect an ally to do that for me.
Well, I guess this is kind of a meta question, but should the Amazing Race allow teams to work together in this way? Or is this something that they should stop in future seasons? Because we've seen this, you know, we saw Juan and Rod work together earlier in the season on some of the memory challenges where they're basically combining answers. This is a little bit different, where instead of combining answers with each
team, they dropped the answer key.
You what?
They dropped the answer key.
Yeah, but I'm saying that like they split it up half and half, where this one it was like Amber just did it for him, you know, basically told him exactly where to go. So my question is if we're looking at Amazing Race as a franchise, is this like the beginning of maybe like a franchise breaking strategy that we'll see? Because a lot of people that are, you know, opponents of the challenge, you know, show that we like, will say, oh, I don't like that the people get to help, especially when there's a puzzle, because then you have all the people that are not in elimination shouting out the answers. A lot of people feel like that takes a lot of the joy away from the eliminations. And I feel like the Amazing Race, which is more about the challenges and less about the drama than the actual MTV challenge, I feel like I could definitely see some people not being very happy with this if this becomes a reoccurring thing.
Yeah, if it were me, I would be against it.
Yeah. I like the strategy of working with other teams. I do. I just, like, I don't care. Like, I'm fine with all these teams working together for infinity. I just worry about the other people that are watching. Because, you know, not everybody that watches The Amazing Race watches Survivor, me brother. Obviously, there's a lot of shared interest there. But I feel like even the people that like Survivor, not all of them are going to like what they feel like is, like, malicious gameplay, which I think you could argue. Even Danny says in this episode that it's, like, it's not, you know, particularly the nicest way to play. It's just the way that they're doing it here. So I'm just interested to hear, I don't know, have you seen any of the reaction online to this, whether it's like the other super fans or like the casuals? Have you seen any reaction to this episode?
I have not.
I haven't either.
I did see a TikTok where they were ranting about the, like, why everyone was helping each other.
Yeah. I have not seen anything. I imagine that it's probably not super positive. Maybe it is, though, because I think that if you're going to give any team the benefit of the doubt doing this, it would be a team like Dan and Angie, and maybe Amber and Vinny, because they do come off as, like, good people, where maybe if it was, like, the meathead alliance of Rod, Letitia, and Juan and Shane doing this, maybe it'd be a little bit different of a reaction. But, yeah, very interesting. But we cannot surpass Angie and her medical attention that she's going to have to get. For the second time in this race, you know, she had to do it while she was getting her face painted in Mexico, but now she's going to do it, and she tells Danny, like, hey, I think we should maybe do a penalty. She was like, our race may end here, and I'm like, listen, once again, I said this at that point of, you know, her laying down in the Mexican thing. I was like, she should be so happy that Danny has such a great son, because I'd have been like, mama, if you're not in the ambulance, you in this race. We're not taking no damn penalty. We playing for $1 million. But Danny, so calm, is able to kind of talk her off the ledge here and say, hey, you know, I know you're doing this for me. You know, just take a minute. And it seemed to work, because she was able to kind of come to her senses again and say, hey, you know, I know I'm doing it for him. I need to get out there and do it again. And luckily she did have some help, so it didn't take as long.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this was their teamwork at its finest, in my opinion. Honestly, this is probably the best episode Angie and Danny have had, I think, in my opinion, because even though they didn't necessarily finish towards the top, they finished higher than they have before. Not only did they get past the Mega Leg, which is probably the biggest, like, it may make the rest of the race easier for them because they know they're not facing as much as they did on this day. And on top of that, they have alliances solidified, and Angie was able to do both roadblocks. So now they're caught up even on roadblocks, I believe. So it gives them more flexibility moving forward.
Definitely. And I'm very excited to see how this race will progress, because some of the weaker teams, I feel like, are starting to gain a little bit of traction here. But yeah, so then we're going to see Yvonne and Melissa. They're going to show up. Melissa's going to do this, and she's going to fail it on the first attempt. And I was surprised by this. You know, listen, she's NCIS, you know, very intelligent. And it just goes to show you that, like, listen, under pressure, you know, even the smartest people are going to struggle with this. So it's really easy for me to say, oh, you should have done this. You could have knocked this out pretty quickly. It's just like, man, there's so many people that are way smarter than me that are struggling with this type of thing. So it's just always great to be able to keep that in mind. Sunny was doing it for her team as well. She's going to run out of time, as does Melissa. And then that's when they're going to kind of realize the big three are helping each other. And they're going to be like, oh, my goodness, they're basically leaving us here to die. They seem to complete it pretty quickly after the big three are going to arrive. So I thought that we were going to have a pretty competitive bottom of the pack, but then we see Derek and Shalisa. They're gonna arrive. Derek's gonna do it. He says he has a proud sense of direction, but he's not a puzzle guy, so he's gonna take three tries to be able to do it, and then Shalisa's gonna celebrate, and they're just gonna yell at him when she sees the puzzle. He's like, this is it. This is what took you so long.
I mean, I don't know if that would have changed much, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that to me, like, cracked me up, because it was like, it's like, okay, girl, there's a time and a place for this. Like, y'all are spending more time arguing when y'all need to hustle. Y'all got three more challenges to do, or two more challenges to do. But then we get over to roadblock two, and it's who wants to score. And the team's got to play a bubble soccer game, and they must score a goal. Jeremy, you ever played bubble soccer?
I have not.
I have not either, but I love when it's on reality TV. The Challenge did this, like, really early on in their legacy. Buddy Games had a great episode where they had the teams play against each other. And then this was really fun as well, because a lot of these teams did not know what they were getting themselves into. They didn't know that it was going to be as physical as it was. Juan and Shane are going to arrive, and I loved this because they were arguing about who to do it, because apparently Juan's whole life is soccer. He played soccer growing up. He's played it, you know, into adulthood. But Shane is like, listen, I think Juan's better at challenges. You know, he's got better memory than I do. He's better at puzzles. I just feel like I should probably do this. And despite Juan, you know, loving soccer and being interested in this, they're going to let Shane do it. And I think this really just speaks to how good they're working together as a team. For Shane to be able to notice and be humble enough to say, I am weaker than my partner here, I think really goes to show that they have a great chance to be able to win this, because they know what their strengths are.
Drop, for sure.
He's going to crush it. He's going to get it done in 30 seconds. And he said he's out of shape because he's tired. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I can't wait to see what some of these other people are going to say. If the military guy's gassed out in 30 seconds. But then we're going to see Cesar. He's going to do it for his team. He's going to struggle because he keeps getting bopped around. He's going to realize all he's got to do is go and run down the competition. If he runs down the competition, he can eventually get an open goal. And that's what's going to happen here. And I got to say, Jeremy, thank goodness there was no goalie there for people to be able to defend, because some teams would still be there.
Yeah, they would. Who would be there the longest?
Oh, Angie, for sure.
Oh, rip Angie.
Yeah. Angie was going to have a wide open goal. She needed an assist to be able to get into it. But this is when it shocked me, Jeremy. Sonny and Benzie are going to arrive third. And I was like, oh, boy. Like, they have skipped. I thought Danny was great at this navigation stuff. And, you know, we see that they're kind of, you know, fooling around with the map and maybe being getting a little bit lost or whatever. But to see Sunny and Busy, who are terrible at navigation, be able to get there before them, I was like, oh, boy. You know, if we see Yvonne and Melissa, then we're going to have a real race. And we do, because they're going to show up in fourth. But Busy first is going to go ahead and go out there. And she's going to get floored a couple times, even going to lose her sunglasses. But after five attempts, she's going to knock it out. Yvonne and Melissa are going to arrive. Yvonne's going to do it despite, I think she said she never kicked a soccer ball before. How do you not kick a soccer ball?
We've had different childhoods than everybody.
Yeah.
Ever. I've kicked soccer balls throughout my life. I'm sure you have as well, but we're not.
She said, she said earlier in the season when they were doing the dancing, she was like, I feel bad about my Latin heritage because I can't dance. Like, you know, most Latins can dance. I can't. It's like, girl, most Latins can just come on too.
Yes. Like, it's, hey, look, it's very, again, very different world for people. Don't always assume, don't make assumptions.
I will say that her scoring was the funniest because she probably kicked it and it rolled like 10 feet into the goal. Like, where's the defense? Where's the defense? I feel like they tell these people to, like, these guys had to get gassed, right? Yeah, they've had to deal with, you know, at this point they had to deal with Busy, they had to deal with Cesar, they had to deal with Shane as well. They're probably tired, so they probably just let that ball roll in after the fourth attempt.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Then we have the big three arrive. Rod, Amber, and Angie are going to do it. Now, at the time, I was really going to – I was ready to come in here and say, who made the worst decision, Jeremy? And I'm still going to ask you this. Is it Rod for, like, not doing what the other teams are doing, where it's like, hey, let's give our other team member a chance to, you know, get another roadblock so then you can do the things that you want to do later on or you have the freedom to choose? Or is it somebody like Dean and Angie where I was thinking, like, hey – like, I just didn't know if Ryan and Letitia and Vinny and Amber were going to stay around again. And I feel like Angie was going to be the one that would take so long. Because there's one thing when, like, Amber can help you with the puzzle. But, like, she can't help you kick the soccer ball. Like, she can't run on the field and play with you. So I was worried that there was a possibility that, like, one of these teams would be left. And I feel like that would probably be Angie if she was going to be left. And she's already had some heat problems earlier in the car. I wouldn't want to, like, put her out there on the soccer field. I mean, obviously, I didn't know there was going to be bubble soccer, but I'd be worried about her if I was Danny and Angie. So I guess it's kind of a moot point because they are going to survive. But do you see any, like, reason to believe that maybe they should have done Danny here instead?
Yeah. I think it was the right choice to have Angie do the roadblock. I think Derek and, like, they had not seen Derek and Chalissa the whole day. And yeah. and that played probably the biggest factor in the decision to do that. Because yeah, like they like you need to have some kind of idea as to where you are in the race. Now obviously you never know. Derek and Chalissa could be 2 minutes away and you have no idea. But
yeah,
but this is also a mega leg. So like they've been there the whole day and you know, I think it was the right choice.
I just would have been so worried if I was Danny. I look in there and there's only one clue left and I'm sending my mom out there to go play soccer. I just would be so nervous about that. But Rod's going to get in there. He's going to take some hits, but he's going to crush it. He's going to be able to get it in there. But to me, I don't know if you caught this, but like Rod and Letitia, they get it done and they run out of the soccer arena, which I guess they had to do, but I thought they were leaving, Jeremy. And I was like, oh my God, you traitors.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
Because we really never saw any confessionals from Rod and Letitia this episode talking about the alliance or whatever. So I was wondering if there was going to be a confessional where they were like, hey, like, we got to run our own race at some point. Like, bye. So that's what I was thinking when they were running away. I was like, oh, my goodness, they're going to leave. But nope, they're going to hang around to the end. But Angie, she's getting destroyed. She needs help up. It's fine because you get hit with the bubbles, you're not getting hurt. But for her, it's like at her age, like when you're falling on like your ankles, twisting ankles, falling on your knees, it's a little bit harder for you to get up. So it takes her a while. But on the third attempt, the player is going to basically lob the ball to her. He's going to kick it high and get to a point where she's completely open and she's able to get that score. So good for her. Amber, they didn't show her first attempt, but she is going to get on her second attempt while taking some bumps as well. But when Derek and Shalisa get there, They hope it's going to be sports related because they're saying, hey, I hope it's basketball, soccer, because they would excel to the point where they have to rock, paper, scissors, who's going to score. And it's going to be Derek. And that to me bummed me out so much, Jeremy, because as much as I love Derek as well, seeing Chalissa getting thrown around in that bubble and her reactions would have made my day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Chalissa not getting hit in the bubble soccer and Karishma not doing like the begging for money thing. Those are the two misses that we've had this season.
Big misses.
But then we get to the final detour, and it is, who did it or what's your beef? Who did it? You have to find a fingerprint and use it to match suspect, and then who's the beef?
or what should be, excuse me, teams must learn about 14 cuts of beef and place them on a diagram board of beef cuts. Jeremy, we did not get any team to do the fingerprint. I was disappointed in that. I think that would have been fun to see.
Yeah, but they didn't even like think about it. It seemed like every team was like very dead set on the beef challenge. But sometimes, like, I feel like because they were all working together, they just felt it was a lot easier. I mean, identifying 14 cuts of meat is different than, you know, trying to solve a crime. And so,
yeah,
I think that the teams all made the right choice here.
I think so, too. Derek and Shalisa did say in their ex interview with Rob, not Rob, but Rob as a podcast, they said that they actually did not do the detour, the second detour. They were told just to go to the pit stop after the soccer, because I guess every team had checked in. But they said that if they did, they would have done the fingerprints because, you know, they're police officers, right? Former police officers, right? And it's been a while since they've done fingerprinting, they said, but, you know, they certainly would have done that. So that would have been fun to at least give them that opportunity, you know, something they're good at. But let's get into the what's your beef. Juan and Shane are going to do this because Juan can speak Spanish. They think that will be easier. However, this guy, he won't stop speaking. Like, he was told by production just to say every single piece of meat in a row and then just start over again. So they're having a hard time kind of keeping up with what he's saying.
Yeah, I would be too. That definitely added some difficulty to it. But again, you know, like we mentioned earlier with the first roadblock, you know, they're trying to make some of these challenges that in earlier seasons of the race may have been a little bit easier than that. And so I think that this little wrinkle made this challenge a little bit harder, and it made teams you know, work a little bit more for it. So I appreciated that wrinkle.
Yeah, and they're going to be able to knock this out before Ricky and Caesar after having to go back one time. Ricky and Caesar, they're here, and despite Caesar being a chef, he said he's more pastry chef than a butchering chef. But they're going to break this down as a simple memory challenge. They are going to get it right after one and Shane. But by the editing, you know, it still seems like there's at least some competition for first. And that's when we get the two all-female teams, Sunny and Busy and Yvonne and Melissa. They're actually going to open up the detour clue at the same time. And Sunny and Busy is going to say, hey, let's work together and we can knock it out and we can kind of beat this team. Because at this point, they know that they're in front of that team because of how many clues are in the box. And they're going to split it up 3-4, 3-4. And they're going to struggle a little bit with sorting out their specific meats. But there's only three tables in there, Jeremy. So once they struggle and they have to go back to get the meats, the big three, they're going to steal the tables and basically lock these two teams out until they can get it completed.
Yeah. Basically, again, keeping with the theme of sticking together. But how long is this going to last? And I have a hard time seeing this last much longer.
Yeah, I've really had an issue with the Amazing Race doing things when they say only a certain amount of teams can complete this challenge, whether it's at one time or at all. I think they were saying that, like, there was only so many rocking horses in the beginning that people could only do. There's only so many sections and certain detours. And I just feel like it's such bullshit. I just feel like if you're going to do a challenge, make sure you have enough tables, enough pieces of meat, enough whatever, that anybody can do it. I don't want teams to be shut down, because if you shut a team down, you know, you're essentially U-turning them in some capacity, or yielding them in this case when they're staying at that detour. And I just don't like that. I feel like it's harder for teams that are in the bottom of the pack to get to the top of the pack because of that. So that, to me, irritated me. But good strategic move, these three to basically lock it down, and they can basically stay there for as long as they want until the other two are able to get it.
Yeah, I would agree.
But then we have Yvonne and Melissa and Sunny and Busy. They're pleading to try to get some help, especially Yvonne and Melissa. And they're asking Danny to try to help them, like, hey, what cut of meat is this? And Danny starts to kind of help them. And Angie was like, I got to be the mom. I got to tell them to stop it. And I think that's why, like, Angie is such a good partner for Danny, is because she is somebody that will challenge him on some of his beliefs in terms of, hey, like, are you actually going to you know, work with these people? They can beat us in a foot race. And I'm not saying that she's right, but, like, she'll like, kind of add a little bit of pushback. And then in this situation, she's the one that kind of stops it. If there was somebody there that was just letting Danny go, who knows, he might have told them all the answers, then he might have ended up in seventh as opposed to fifth.
Right.
So love that. The two all-girl teams, they're going to get it pretty quickly after. So it did leave me a little bit of suspicion of if the big three could get there before then. But Dan's going to say something smart. He's going to say, like, hey, we should all three split up and meet each other at the pit stop. But then they're going to follow him anyway. But it's smart for Danny because you'd rather be third, because what happens if you have three teams that leave in the first pack as opposed to, you know, four and five leaving in the second pack? But unfortunately for him, he is going to lose that foot race that he kind of already knew. And I guess it's something that he had kind of had to resonate with himself when working with these teams the entire time, is like, you are going to check in after these two.
Yeah, I don't know if next leg will have two teams are in the front or three teams in the front. I would imagine there's probably like two groups of two and then one group of three. But that middle group of three makes more sense to me.
Yeah, that's my guess, is I think that we will see Danny and Angie start with the other two all-female teams. So that will be interesting to see for sure. But at the pit stop, we're going to see Ricky and Cesar. They're going to get second. They're not going to win this week because it's going to be Juan and Shane. They're going to get there. They're going to get $5,000 a piece. Is that a good prize for the mega leg?
Yeah, I would agree.
I would say it is. And then we're going to see the big three. They're going to get 3, 4, and 5 with the two female teams getting 6 and 7. Surprised there was no mat drama there. You know, I really thought that maybe the two female teams would call out the big three for their antics here. And I was a little bit disappointed that we didn't see that.
Yeah, but you're not trying to piss anybody off. You never know if the next leg could have a U-turn or anything like that. We saw last season that there was like a U-turn vote. So you still don't want to piss teams off. And even if you, especially if you think that they are not really on your side.
Let me tell you, if Derek Shalissa was there, you replaced him with Sonny and Busy, Shalissa would have said something.
Maybe, but that might not have been a strategy.
Yep, that's true. But that's going to wrap it up for this week. Next week they're in Uruguay. We are going to get a precision challenge. Where I think it's going to be a precision detour, where we're either going to have the teams are going to do a drum routine, or they're going to have to sing a Spanish song. So those that can always trip people up. I think that's really going to be up in the air of who's going to win next week, because you know, last time you could do the rebus puzzle and be able to jump, but a lot of these people we didn't get to see do any type of choreographed routine, and even the people that dance, I mean, it has nothing to do with like singing or doing the drum. So it really could go a lot of ways next week, Jeremy. All right. Well, we appreciate everybody for listening. Stay tuned for what's coming up next on Reality Daily.